Good evening. I believe this is going to be a wonderful evening in this service where we meet the Lord as we uplift him with our praise, with our worship. So let's stand. Joy, unspeakable joy.
Isaiah 7:14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, God with us." I love what Max Lucado said. God is always near us, always for us, always in us. We may forget him, but God will never forget us. We are forever on his mind and in his plans. He called himself Emmanuel, which means God with us. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? There's nowhere we can go from the presence of God that he is not there. I'm going to ask you just to greet a couple of people around you, and then you can be seated. We're so glad you're here this evening on this special service. You can be seated. And we are going to be partaking of communion at the end of the service. If you did not receive communion and would like to partake, would you raise your hand and someone will get that to you at the beginning of the service. Did we miss anyone? Right over there in the back is one. If just keep your hand raised if you will. If there's anyone else, just raise it high and they will make sure you are served. We just want to again welcome you tonight to this Christmas candlelight communion service. We want to let you know that this coming Sunday at 10:30, we're going to be just celebrating with our Christmas service manger throne. There will be drama and the word and illustration and there will be a message brought as well. But you know, the most important thing is the Lord's going to be here. And we just want you to come, invite someone with you, bring them, and we'll just have a wonderful time in the Lord. The next two Wednesdays, we will not be meeting. We're going to let you just have time with your family for Christmas and for New Year. We just want you to be blessed in that. And also, following the service tonight, there will be refreshments. And what we'll do, just to give you a heads up, we'll just come over here to this aisle and go up and around and just grab you some finger foods and then just mill around and meet someone that you have not met before. But just stay after, if you will, and join us for a time of refreshments. We want to go to the Lord in prayer. Many need prayer tonight. Is there anyone in here that could use some prayer? All over this room. We want to remember Tammy Wilson and Ashley and Dakota and Dylan and Janet and Glenda tomorrow night here, right here in this sanctuary. 5 to 8 will be the viewing for Glenn Wilson, and then Friday at 11 right here will be the funeral, and we need to remember them. So many have heavy hearts during this time. And we know that the Lord is the God of peace, isn't he? And how many of you can attest that you've walked through some trying times and the Lord met you there? And we believe he's going to do that. So let's go to the Lord in prayer this evening. Father, we thank you for your touch, for your blessing, for your mercy, for your grace, for your help. You're so good to us, God. You know every need. We just believe you're moving even now in hearts and in lives. Lord, we ask you to be with Tammy and this beautiful family, God, over these next few days. Give them the grace and the strength and the comfort that only you can. And Lord, we're just believing that you're going before them and before everyone who lifted their hand tonight with a need. And we're going to give you the glory, and we give this service to you. Just have your way. Everything that we do, we pray, brings glory and honor to you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen and amen.
The greatest gift given long ago wasn't wrapped in paper or tied with a bow. God's only Son from heaven above, given to us straight from his love. Let's we forgive, forget. Please hold on tight to the great truth bringing on that night. His gift of love for all to receive, the gift of salvation to those who believe.
We're gonna dance, lift our hands. Shout. Christmas time. It's the season that he's giving us a gift so great. It's Christmas time, yeah, it's Christmas time. He's the light of the world, come down to us. From heaven, now everyone sings. Giving us a gift so great. It's Christmas time, yeah, it's Christmas time. He's the light of the world, come down to us. From heaven, now everyone sings.
Star.
Could you stand again? Let's just sing, Go Tell It on the Mountain.
I did. The Lord led me to you.
Did you know that your baby boy would someday walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy came to make you new? The child that you deliver will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? Did you know boy has walked where angels trod? And when you've kissed your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. Mary, did you know? The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is the Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule? Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the great I
Hallelujah. The first, you go before, you are the last, Lord, you're the encore, your name's in lights for all to see, the starry host declare your glory, glory in the highest. Oh, glory, glory in the highest, glory in the highest. Apart from you, there is no God, light of the world, the bright and morning star. Your name will shine for all to see. You are the one. You are my glory. Glory in the highest. Glory in the highest.
What name could contain such a glory? In the cool breezes of Eden, wrought from the infant earth, one arose, the voice of his creator speaking his identity to life. Adam, man. And as heaven waited short with breath, the creator spoke yet another, Eve. mother of all the living. So it was with Abraham, named in the promise as the father of nations, Peter, the rock upon which the church would stand. The name called to life the destiny within. The name set the stage for all that was to come. And unto us a child was born. And what name could contain his glory? For he was mighty God, as the universe gasped into being, flinging rays of light from his presence to pierce the void, to shatter the shadows to a tapestry of color. And he is mighty God, shattering our darkness, revealing our light, our truth in him. He was everlasting Father when orphaned Israel needed a father's touch. When we, with grief-stricken cheeks, need the embrace of one who never leaves. When we have lost our way to dark horizons, it is our everlasting Father who lights the way home. He is Prince of Peace. When, like Elijah, we need the still small voice in the turmoil's midst. When, like David, we need the melodies of his presence to soothe our troubled minds. He is sanctuary within our trials, shepherd guiding us to still waters. And yes, he is wonderful counselor. God who gives counsel in the chaos, crafting disorder into calm and failure into beauty. He is a voice for the voiceless. He is dignity for the stateless soul. It is he who raised up a lowly shepherd to become a king. He who took the fishermen of Galilee and made them leaders of history. It is the counselor who redeems our lost years, breaking chains that have kept dreams imprisoned and joy confined. The name reaches across eternity, exclaimed by the splendors of galaxies, sung by the passions of angels, roared in heaven's fervor, exalted in creation's unfettered rejoicing. What name could contain him? What title? What soul renown? For this is our wonderful counselor. This is our mighty God. This is our everlasting Father, our Prince of Peace. What name could contain Emmanuel, God with us, Yahweh, the great I am? What name could contain the Word of Life, the Light of the World, the King of Kings, the Lord of all? We bow to the name that holds every other in its matchless worth. What name could contain such a glory? What name but Jesus? We cry, Jesus. We cry, holy is the name.
Amen. Could you stand with us? There is no name greater than the name of Jesus. There's no person that carries any title that is greater than our Jesus, our Lord. And as we sing these next couple songs, just worship that person, Jesus Christ.
Jesus, Jesus, oh, what a wonderful child. Jesus, Jesus, so lowly, meek and mild. New life, new hope, new joy he brings. Won't you listen to the angels sing? Glory, glory, glory to the newborn King. Jesus, Jesus, oh, what a wonderful child. So lowly, meek and mild. New life, new hope, new joy he brings. Won't you listen to the angels sing? Glory, glory, glory to the newborn King.
It was heralded by the angel, born in a little.
where he lay in a manger filled with hay. Jesus, oh Jesus, oh, what a wonderful child. Jesus,
our sweet
Jesus, so lowly, meek and mild. New life, new hope, new joy he brings. Won't you listen to the angels sing? Glory, glory, glory to the newborn King. Glory, glory, glory to the newborn King.
Here I am to worship.
Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Here I am to worship.
Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
The Lord. Father, we just thank you for your goodness and mercy today. We thank you that we can come and worship you, Lord, and honor you. Lord, we just pray tonight that as we've came in song and dance and with our children coming and praising you, Lord, that these next few moments can be wholly given to you. So we prepare for communion tonight, God, just to know that you are the risen Savior. To know that you're the reason that we celebrate this season, God, as a babe in a manger, grew into a man who went around doing good, healing all manner of sickness and disease, and then fell to the cross. Gave up your spirit, God, that we could have life and it more abundant. But on that third day, you rose again. And God, now we stand in your presence. And God, we know that you are seated at the right hand of the Father, ever interceding for us. And I pray tonight that we would just hear your spirit with clarity today. Speak to our hearts. Just the few things I just want to mention tonight, God, I pray it would be living water, that it would touch someone's heart, someone's life tonight. And God, that we would have a greater desire to know you in this year and this season, Lord, maybe than any other time. And Lord, that you would just have your way. We just thank you for each one that has come out tonight. And Lord, we just thank you for the presence and your spirit that we feel in this place. And Lord, we just ask it all in your holy and precious name tonight. And everyone said, amen. I'm going to ask you to just be seated for just a moment. I'm not going to keep you long, but I do want to talk about communion this evening for just a moment. And I know sometimes we assume that everybody knows about communion. That's why we're here. It's the candlelight and communion service. But I was reading today and I was studying about the church at Corinth and how that when Paul was introducing once again, reintroducing communion to them, they had found themselves in a troubled time. They had found them in them in the church, it was a time of turmoil. And if it's a word, disunity had begun to creep in. And they began to become at odds with one another. And they were beginning to argue. And they wanted to be the lead. And they wanted all kinds of things. And they were dealing with the signs of the days and the times and the troubles of society and the social influences that were around them. And he was seeing that church was no longer church as normal. And so he decided that one of the ways to bring unity back into the church was to follow one of the Lord's commands, and that was to begin to partake of communion again and to come together again and to try to restore unity into the hearts and the lives of the people there. And he uses this scripture out of 1 Corinthians 11 and beginning with 23, and it's really what we're going to end with, but it says, "For I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" And he goes and he emphasizes, "For as long as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." And Paul writes how the Lord's Supper is given and how it means to come into unity, to bind their hearts together, to bind their thoughts together. And they had to come to a place that they were partaking of that supper, that communion, knowing that their heart and their mind and their spirit was right with God the Father, knowing that they were doing it for the right reason. He also guided them to remember this and to understand this, that at the Lord's table, whenever the Lord gave this supper, it pointed in three directions, and that's what it does for us tonight. It pointed to the past, it pointed to the present, and it pointed to the future. And when we partake of communion as a congregation or as an individual, that's what it does for our life. It points us to the past, to remember the things that Christ has done for us. The Lord's Supper here refers to the last Passover meal that Jesus had with his disciples on earth out of Luke 22, 14 through 20. At that time, Jesus took the bread and the cup and he passed them around the table. And he simply said, signifying that his body would be broken or torn into pieces and that the shedding of his blood would usher in the new covenant according to Jeremiah 31, 31 through 33. And that covenant is spoken of by Jeremiah that he says, "I'm sending to you a new covenant. It's not going to be the covenant that I used when I led your fathers out of Egypt into freedom, but this is going to be a new covenant that is given to you. It's going to be a covenant of celebration. It's going to be a covenant that you're not in bondage anymore, but you're going to understand that this new covenant is going to come through the blood of the Lamb, through the blood sacrifice." And Jeremiah proclaims this years before Jesus ever institutes the Last Supper, as we call it. But the Last Supper makes us remind and remembers the things of our past, the things that Christ had done for us. He said, "Do this in remembrance of me," in verse 24 and 25. Paul is stressing that we are to always remember the atoning sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, the things that he had done on that cross, what he had carried, the weight that he had carried, and how that he set us free from sin and its bondage. We are to remember how he was flogged, how he was beaten, and how that he shed his own blood to take away our sins. Our sin. I know it's Christmas time. I said it Sunday. You can't have the manger without the cross. Had Christ not died for our sins, the manger would have not had any significance. But because he was God, yet he was man, he took on the weight of this world. He took on the weight of our sin, our suffering, our shame. And he said, Father, if there's any other way that this can happen, I'm asking you to do it. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And we have to be reminded, even in this season of celebration, of the horrors of Calvary. We have to be reminded that he took on the weight of this world, our sin, our shame, our guilt, our separation from God. And as he looked out over that crowd that was assembled that day, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And my prayer is that we never forget what he has done for us today. The second angle of the table is simply the present. It's communion itself with God. The Lord's Supper speaks of the present, of the here and now, and how we have fellowship with a living Christ. He's alive today, church. He's alive today. You may have come in here overwhelmed with trouble today. You may have come in here worrying today. You may have come in here overwhelmed with life circumstance. But can I tell you, if I can get you into the mindset that he is alive today and he is alive here for you. He says, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. The word tells us to draw near to the Lord and he will draw near to us. Resist the devil and he must flee. And how many knows the devil is a liar? The devil is a liar. He wants you to think there's no hope. He wants you to think that there's no God in the day that we're living. He wants you to think that you've got to carry all this yourself. But Jesus Christ came that you could have life and it more abundant in the here and now. We have communion with him now because our sins are forgiven. Thank God. Thank God that he forgives us of our sins. We do not have to wait till heaven to have fellowship with God. But we can have communion with him right now. The last thing is the future. And the future signifies commitment to Christ. To be committed to a Lord that said one day, not only is he going to go away, but he's going to return unto his own. He is the God that is going to come back for those that are loving him and serving him and are walking with him today. It reminds us of Jesus' victory, that he is victorious. And he will set up his kingdom here on earth. We are here to proclaim the Lord's death through the observance of the Lord's Supper until he comes again in the future. And I am convinced more maybe than any other time in our ministry that I believe the Lord could come at any moment, at any time. I have lived through the decades of time when we've heard it preached and heard it preached and heard it preached. And I often go back and reminisce about the days of older when our pastors and evangelists that we had as when we were kids would come and preach about the Lord's returning. But I'm convinced we are closer today, not just because it's chronologically the time order, but because of the signs of the times that I see unfolding and the prophecies that have already been fulfilled and how that scripture is being revealed right in front of us. The day of the Lord's return is at hand. And tonight as we partake of communion, we look to that as a reminder that he hasn't forgotten us even in the days that we live, but he's about to step out on the cloud of glory and call us home. And that ought to be something worth rejoicing about. So not only does it cause us to look to our past or to sit in our present, but look to our future and say, come Lord Jesus, come. And just be ready for him. I'm going to ask you to stand today. I'm hoping everyone has received the elements of communion. And I'm going to ask that we just take a moment, just a moment. Somebody had said and wrote one time on the internet, they said, let's just take a moment and just take 1 second of time for every child that's been aborted in America since it's been inducted. And they said, if we were to do that and take 1 second for every child, we would stand in silence for over 1 year. Now you have to think about that. But let's take a moment and examine ourselves before God, before we partake together. Let's just take a moment. Ask God if there's anything that we need forgiven of. Is there anything inside of me, God? This is always open communion to those that love the Lord and believe. But there could be somebody here tonight that maybe you're not where you need to be with Christ. And I want to give you that opportunity to make things where they need to be. So for just a moment, Shirley, can you just play something very softly for a moment? Let's worship him for just a moment. Mighty God. Mighty God. Let us adore you, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Father, I just pray tonight. All over this building, God, as hearts are before you, Lord, that we would be reminded of your goodness, your mercy, all that you have done for us, God. And I just pray tonight that each one of us are at a place in our walk with you, at a place in our own life, God, that we've yielded ourselves to you. And God, that as we're about to prepare and partake of communion, that we know that we've made everything right with you. That we don't partake of these elements unworthily, Lord God, but that we know that we're, as best we can, standing right with you. And God, we're going to claim every promise of your word. We're going to claim everything that you have laid out for your children. And we're going to ask you to move in this service, God. I'm asking tonight, God, if there's someone that come in here and they've been carrying the weight of the world on their shoulder or deep in their heart, God, tonight, that as we receive these elements and we partake of them and we give you thanks, God, that you will take that load off of them. And God, that you'll lift that burden out of them and they'll leave here changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray tonight, God, that if there's someone that has come in here and they're not feeling well, maybe there's kind of some kind of sickness or disease upon their body or in their body, God, that as we partake of this, we're going to claim their healing. Because your word said it's by your stripes we are healed. And God, I pray that as we partake of this together, Lord, that anointed virtue would flow from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. And God, they'd know when they leave, they're healed by the power of the Holy Spirit. God, I pray tonight that if there's a family, a marriage that is struggling, maybe nobody even knows about it, God, but them. I pray that as the enemy has tried to rage against the homes of America, in the church world, God, I pray that if there's a home that is in disarray tonight, God, and there's just turmoil that is going on, I pray that as we partake of this together, God, that hearts would melt and the enemy would be defeated and love would be rekindled. And homes would be restored. Lives would be mended. Hearts would be changed, God. And they would leave different than what they came by the power of the Holy Spirit. God, that we know there's power in the name of Jesus. There's healing in the name of Jesus. There's restoration in the name of Jesus. There's deliverance in the name of Jesus. God, whatever it might be, whatever somebody may have brought into this house tonight, God, may it be laid at your feet. And at the name of Jesus, may they leave here different by the power of the Holy Spirit. That it not just be a routine thing, God, but that their heart be truly laid before you tonight. And God, that unity would be restored in the house of the Lord, that we would bear up one another's burdens, God. We would exhort one another. We would encourage one another. And yes, we would pray for one another, God, that something would change, God, in this church world, this thing we call the church today, that something would stir in our hearts at the end of 2024 and catapult us into 2025 as a living, breathing, physical representation of Jesus Christ in a lost and a dying world. That tonight lives would be changed. Not by what man has said or man has sung or man has danced, but by the living, breathing Word of God, the Spirit of God. May you breathe into each one of us new life. May you pour into each one of us new oil. May our lamps burn brighter than they have burnt in some time. May there be a river of living water begin to flow out of the hearts and the bellies of your believers, God, that we cannot contain it, but wherever that river flows, God, life is given to those things that have been called dead, that newness would begin to birth forth, God, that something would begin to happen, that it would set this mountaintop on fire. God, that change would start in me. God, that there would be a refreshing that would be like the oil poured upon Aaron that went all the way down to his beard, God, and all the way to the hem of his garment. That an anointing would fall upon men and women in this house. And God, we wouldn't want to be the same, but we'd want to leave changed and different. As those disciples sat around that table so long ago, God, and they wondered if they were even capable of denying you, or would they be committed to serving you? God, we know the fate of that night. My prayer is that we would rise to the occasion to serve you with a whole heart and not let anything get in the way. God, that you would have your way in the remaining part of this service, God. If you'd just partake or get your elements, we'll read the scripture and get ready to partake together. And I'm just going to read the scripture I started with. Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, exhorting them. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, take ye, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Can we partake of these elements together this evening? Partaking the wafer, breaking it, and partaking it together tonight. Then taking the cup, a symbol of his blood, and partaking together. Can you just lay your hand over on somebody close by? And I want us to pray one for the other. I don't know what you come in here with, but I've had a heaviness in my heart that we just need to pray one for the other. We never know what load somebody else is carrying. But I believe tonight it can be a life-altering and changing experience. And someone's load can be lifted. Father, I pray right now, I thank you and I praise you for all that you have done. Lord, for everything that you had did at Calvary, everything that you have done, Lord God, down through the ages for common man. Lord, I thank you that you have taken our sin, our shame, our guilt, Lord God, and you have wiped it away as far as the east is from the west. God, you've cast it into the sea of forgetfulness. And Lord, that's not even the issue tonight. God, there is a heaviness upon our heart that there may be those that are carrying burdens tonight. There may be a troubled soul tonight. There may be someone that is overwhelmed with a doctor's report. Lord God, there may be somebody that is overwhelmed with a financial situation, a marriage situation, a home situation, whatever it might be, God, you already know the needs. But God, I pray that we can wrap an arm around somebody. We can put a hand into somebody else's hand. We can lift them up. We can help establish their goings. God, we can speak life in them and over them. And we can thank you, Lord, in the midst of the storm of their life, God, that you are still God. You are still on the throne. You are still more than enough. And God, that you're moving in hearts and lives tonight. God, that we're not alone in this thing. We're not standing alone, God, but we're leaning upon you tonight. Lord, your word declares that you're a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, that you have never left us nor forsaken us, but you're always there, even all the way to the end. And God, I pray that as we have reached over, as we have reached out, God, that we can pray for that one that is next to us tonight. God, that we can pray that their load is lightened, God, that this would be a season of celebration, that the cares of this life would not overwhelm them or overshadow what this season is about. But God, that we would leave here knowing that you truly are Emmanuel, God with us. God, that you're moving in hearts and lives even tonight. And God, you're setting the captive free tonight. God, you're healing the broken body tonight. God, you're binding up the brokenhearted tonight. You're pouring in the oil and the wine into the wounds that have been left there by man. And God, you're bringing healing into those wounds tonight. God, you're meeting needs that we're not even aware of, and you're doing something in the hearts and lives of men and women, boys and girls all over this room, God, and we thank you for that. We thank you for that, God. Lord, we magnify you tonight. We honor you tonight. We praise you tonight. And Lord, we just lift you high. We lift you high, God. Knowing that you are more than enough, we praise you, God. We praise you, God. We praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Mighty God, mighty God. Do we have a chorus ready that we can sing? Mighty Father.
Oh, come, let us adore.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. For he alone is worthy. For he alone is worthy.
Remember, we have a time of fellowship. They've asked if you go down this aisle. And we're just going to bless the food, bless the fellowship. And thank you for being here. We hope you have the merriest Christmas that you've ever had.